नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 6. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadasi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadasi is called Vijaya. Conch shells, kettle drums, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The siddhas, vidhidharas, kimpurushas, pinaras, charanas, yakshasas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of servants, and the followers of the demigods, all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai, Jai," in great happiness and wonder. So text 12, yeah. Please repeat.
Yad
tad
vapur
hati
vibhushana
yuhair avyakta
chit
vyaktam
adharaya
hari
bahuva
tenaiva Shampashyator
Divya
Gatir
Yata
Nataha Yatat Vapur Bhati Vibhushanat Yudhe Avyakta Chit Vyaktam Adhara Yadhari
Avyakta Chit Vyaktam Adhara Yadhari
Bahuvatenaiva Savamano Vatu
Bahuvatenaiva Savamano Vatu
Sampasyator Divyagatir Yatanata
Sampasyator Divyagatir Yatanata
Yat
Yat
Which
Which
Tat
Tat
That
That
Bahu
Bahu
Transcendental Body
Transcendental Body
Hati,
Adi,
manifest.
Vibhushana,
with regular ornaments.
Ayudhai,
and with weapons.
Avyakta,
unmanifested.
Chit
vyaktam,
spiritually manifested.
Adharayat, assumed. Hari, the Lord, Bahuva,
immediately became,
Tena,
with that,
Eva,
certainly,
Sa,
he,
the Lord,
Vamana,
dwarf,
Vatu,
a Brahmana, Brahmachari. Sampashyato,
while both his father and mother were
seeing.
Divyagati,
whose movements are wonderful.
Yata,
as.
Nata,
a theatrical actor.
Translation.
The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hand. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, as described in the Brahma Samhita, 5.33.39, the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms, Advaityam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Purana, Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avatara Makarok Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamane appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayana, with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, Vatu. This means that his body is non-material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetitatvata. One who has understood the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body. Satchidananda vigraha. So here now, after the great penance of Aditi, then she was blessed with the association of the Lord. The Lord came in the form as her daughter, son. And then she was able to perform that kind of relationship with the Lord, those kind of services. So we see that by great penance, by great tapasya, then something is gained. In this world, nothing is gained without work. Nothing happens. If we find now, we get something. We did not work, it comes. It is because we have worked before, and then it comes. But one should have faith that nothing comes without the endeavor. So here, because Aditi's endeavor was very perfect, therefore she got a perfect result. And that was the Lord as her child. So now we see they are all very, very happy. And he has appeared. So when he appears, then he comes in his four-arm form so that everybody is sure that this is the Supreme Lord. This is an important aspect. We see that the Lord follows these rituals. And then after that, then he may relate in this specific form. We see as Krishna also, when he appeared to Devaki, then he appeared in a four-arm form, then took the form of a child. So here also, he is taking the form of, he is manifesting his Vishnu form with four arms. Then after, he is taking the form of Vamanadeva for a specific pastime. So Prabhupada mentions here the word nata, or the actor, is very significant, because the actor changes dress. He changes his lines, changes his actions, but he's the same person. So this is a very essential point, is that Krishna, and Prabhupada makes a point, it's the same person, same eternity, same everything. So now, this means that Krishna in every incarnation is the same person. But for the situation and for those who he's relating to in this drama, then he takes a particular form, performs particular pastimes, and in this way then interacts with the devotees in a certain way. So he's the same Lord, but depending upon who is there and what is their relationship, particular depth of the relationship, their particular surrender, then they will draw from Krishna particular amount of his potency and interaction. So when we say that, you know, Vishnu, he has 60 qualities, 55 he manifests fully, and the other 5 to some degree. Then as Mahanarayan in Dwarka, he manifests these 60 qualities fully. And then Krishna, he manifests then 4 more qualities that are special to his pastimes. So this means that the same Lord is there. It's not that Krishna and Mahanarayan and Vishnu are different persons. It's the same person. But depending upon the pastime he's going to play or the drama, he will put on the particular outfit and manifest a certain amount of activity. And that is dependent upon the devotees. So because the devotees we see in Vaikuntha, they are surrendered to the Lord, and they have great affection for the Lord, as the Supreme Lord is God. So he manifests all these nice qualities of being God. But we see that some aspects aren't so important. So therefore, he manifests that much. And we see that though they are greatly surrendered to the Lord, still they are in the position of liberation. That means that there is, from their own side, there is their own purpose to be there. And at the same time, they want to please the Lord. So this both aspects are there. There's something for themselves are there. But we find, so therefore, the manifestation of the Lord's glories will also be to that much only. It's in that Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So you surrender a little bit, he reciprocates a little bit. You surrender a lot, he reciprocates a lot. So this is how he works. He says it very clearly. Because in rasa, if you want to have interaction, there must be equality. Right? If you want to have friendship, the friends must be of an equal nature. Something that there must be something common that they can relate on, that they can deal on. Right? If it's master and servant, you have to, the master and the servant, they have to match. You have a small master, he has a small servant. You have a big master, he has a big servant. So same way, parents, them and their child will match. You see, the nature of the child, nature of the parent, very similar. Otherwise it won't work. Interaction won't happen. Or in the conjugal rasa, there must be equality. There must be that nature that they are matched. Then they can relate to each other. Otherwise, it won't work. Their moods will be too different. Therefore, if Krishna wants to interact with the devotees, he must interact at the same degree that they are interacting with him. Otherwise, there won't be proper communication. There won't be proper interface. So it's not that it's a different person. It's depending upon the devotees that he is dealing with. Therefore, there's a certain amount of manifestation, of potency. Then we will say, Narayan manifests this much, then Mahanarayan this much, Krishna this much, you know, like this. We'll make these categories. But that is not, that is, one, it places things according to their level, so we can understand. Yes, we understand time and space, so okay, this is higher than this, this is that. Okay, so then it makes it easy for us to approach. But the actual thing is the rasa that is there between the devotees and the Lord. So that's signifying if he's only manifesting this much, because that's all he needs to manifest. But if he is in association with someone else, he has to manifest more. Prabhupada gives the example of the high court judge. So when he's on the bench, he only has to manifest one aspect of his personality, that of him as a judge. That's all he has to do. He has the rules, he hears the cases, and according to the rules and evidence, he makes a judgment. And everything is very formal. So this is the relationship, the interaction. But when he goes home, then he must manifest relationship with his wife, with his friends, with his children. so much more has to manifest. So we see it becomes deeper. The aspect, revelation of the personality is deeper. In the court, you'll see part of the personality. But out of the court, you'll see more of the personality. You know, when the judge leaves and goes to the back room with the other lawyers and that, then it's a different mood. Or when he goes to the room with the other judges, then even more intimate. But then when he goes home, it'll be the most intimate. Same person. So we must be clear that we don't say, you know, Krishna this, Vishnu that, oh, who cares for this, oh, we only listen to this, oh, we only deal with this. Because then this means, as Prabhupada points out, that the person needs to learn more. He's not well acquainted like that. It's nice, they're approaching the Lord, but it's not very deep. Right? Because it's the same person. So, and depending upon who you are, it manifests. Krishna can take a forearm form, and everybody sees, oh, here's Narayana. Right? Even the other gopis come by. You know, he's very formal. Then, when he takes the same form, and then the gopis come by, then he keeps the form of Narayana, but he's in a joking mood. But when Radharani comes, there's no way he can maintain the forearm form. Because her surrender is such, it goes so far beyond, there's no question of maintaining it. He has to manifest, because she has the comparable, complementary qualities for 64 qualities. She has 100% of that complement. Therefore, to deal with her, Krishna has to manifest the 64 qualities in full. There's no question or not. It's just rasa. It's just the way it works. So, how is it he's taking the form and then he's moving back? So it's just the mood. The devotee is there, that is what mood is drawn from Krishna. And if you change that, it changes. You change the devotee, you change the form. You change the pastime. You don't change the devotee, it's the same. So like that, you will manifest in this way. So this is a very essential point, because otherwise sometimes we tend to make too much distinction between the different forms of Godhead. You know, due to our enthusiasm for, you know, advancing in spiritual rasa. But we find here is the authority on rasa. Has just told us, well, it's nice, but maybe we should study a little bit more. Like that. Maybe we missed the point. It's the same person. And if one is advanced, one's going to see that anyway. Right? Krishna is there in his house. He's interacting with the gopis in a very subtle way. She just sees her nice little son. He is laying in bed in the morning. She comes to wake him up. He's wearing Radharani's sari, not wearing his chadar. He's wearing her chadar. She doesn't see. She just sees, oh, he has on Balaram's chadar. My nice little boy. He's covered with, you know, how you say, kumkum and kisses and nail marks of the gopis. And she just says, these cowherd boys are so rough when they wrestle with Krishna. You know, Balaram, you should stop them being so rough with Krishna. We see how delicate his body is. It's because that's her mood. So it doesn't matter what's there. She sees the same thing. You put Kishore Krishna in front of her, she sees little Krishna. That's all. You know, Balaram comes home, right? He's 100 years old, you know, great-grandfather, you know, lord of the Kuru dynasty, I mean the Yadav dynasty, great king of Dwarka. He comes home, she just grabs him, picks him up, puts him on her lap, starts crying, oh, here's little Balaram. Doesn't matter. So we see is rasa is one thing, and our intellectual ideas are something else. So tattva is just so that we understand the position. Basically to understand we're not God, someone else is God. Right? Okay, we have 50 qualities. To some degree, but that's where it stops. Then there's someone else that has 55, then it goes on to 60, then it goes on to 64, So you can see there's a little difference, right? 64 full and 50 to some degree, a little here, a little there, something more, something less. Then it's kind of like the intelligence goes, because it's supposed to discriminate, going, oh, okay, there's a difference. Maybe this person, okay, we have to respect them as at least a little bit better, right? At least that much. We have to start from that point, minimum. So that's what these points are for. Because otherwise, the devotees themselves don't sit there, this many qualities, that many qualities, because there's unlimited qualities. These are just brought out because the Shastras mention them. And these things you can very nicely give evidence from the scriptures. And it's enough. 64 already is overwhelming. Right? Once we see Madhvacharya, he sat down with Vishnu Sahasranama. And he sat down with so many devotees and he started to give translations of each name and purports on each name of 1,000 names. And he started giving, I think, what, 108? Ten of each. Yeah, 10 of each. He got through 40 names and they just said, thank you. Our head is about to crack. And he could have just gone on and on and on and on and on. So living energy can only handle so much. Therefore, that much is given. Right? And then beyond that, relationship isn't based on knowledge. Right? You may know, may not know. Who cares? Right? Mother. Her kid's a bum. He's the prime minister. It doesn't care. He's the son. Like that. It's nicer, okay. He's the prime minister. It's nice, but it doesn't change the fact that he's the son. So, therefore, knowledge and rasa, they are knowledge. We use knowledge to purify ourselves to get to understand the relationship. But the relationship does not function on knowledge. It doesn't. We see here, he comes, they're all happy, the Supreme Lord has come. They offer their respects, and then after that, then they go into the pastimes. Because that's where the taste is, not in the knowledge. Knowledge is dry. But, because we have dry intelligence, therefore knowledge is there to engage that dry intelligence. And the pastimes are there to engage the mind. The mind, it needs some juice. But, we're used to material juice. Inferior. So then here we see real interaction, you know, real dealings. Then we can become attracted and give up this lower taste and take up the higher taste. So here this we see also because Krishna, he comes as an actor and performs these pastimes and does it according to the situation the person he's dealing with. And we say it's real, right? So therefore we see it's the same thing for the devotees. We're very serious. Then we take our part in whatever situation we're in and whatever relationships we have and we play the part like the actor. Some will say, well, this is a show, but this whole material world is a show. We're not this body. So there's no alternative. There is zero alternative. Well, I mean, there's animal life, of course, that's always an alternative. But human life means you're going to act as a human, means you're going to take the part of the relationship. You're a parent, then you have to be a parent. You're a teacher, you have to be a teacher. You're, you know, a husband or a wife, you have to be a husband or wife. That's what you got. You have that body, it's not you, but that's what it is. Like these are car calls. I can't use them as a screwdriver. I can try. But it will not be as good as if I use a screwdriver. These work better to play music. And the screwdriver doesn't play music. Maybe, okay, I get a saw and bang on it. Okay, I can try. Some people do it. Like that. But a spoon is better. Better than that's a hammer. Right? But, it's if we want to say reality, reality is these are cartels. So we play music with them. So reality is we have a body. And it's a certain age, certain size, it has certain capabilities. Our mind, our intelligence has certain capabilities. And so if we are real, then we'll just follow what matches that. Not what we want to be, but what we actually have. Not what body we want,
but what
we actually are. What intelligence we want, no, but what we have. So like this, then it's the same thing. So Krishna does that when he comes here. Now he does it in his spiritual form. And his devotees do that in their spiritual form. So if we want to come to the platform of interaction with Krishna, then we do that with what form we have. We take it, and according to Krishna's direction, we engage in the Lord's material pastime of this world. He, as the universal form, has entered everything and given a potency to everything. So everything has a potency that it acts in a certain way. So therefore, it's the Lord's pastime. So if we want to take part in the Lord's pastime, then we take what we have and use it according to the Lord's direction for the Lord. Then we become purified. Then we go back to Godhead. Pious people take it, use it according to the part, but not for Krishna, for their own purposes. And sinful people ignore the Lord's pastime, and then they take what they have and use it however they damn well please. And then in the next life, then, because God is in control, then they get some nice body that matches, you know, they want to do what they want to do. So this is our choice, is that Krishna does this. He comes here, performs his pastimes. We can perform same, we can be involved in these same pastimes if we do it for the Lord, according to his direction. So it's a very simple formula, but of course one has to have faith, one has to have surrender, one has to acknowledge that we are servant. So we perform the pastime as servant. The Lord performs the pastimes as master. Therefore, he is the enjoyer, we're the enjoyed. Then it functions very nicely. Then it is a match, right? There's compatibility. You have enjoyer and enjoyed, you put them together, there's a match. But if you put Krishna is the Lord and we're the Lord, then it's a problem. Because even you want to say, well, he's God, we're God, so we're all God, so there should be a match. But the problem is he's such a big God and we're such a small God, it just doesn't match. Right? But we can be a servant that is on the platform, that we can be servant and match with Krishna's mood of the enjoyer. That can match. That will match. Any questions or comments? Yes.
You were explaining, Maharaj, about the different people have different capability, a different talents. And sometimes I see people that don't even know themselves.
Yeah.
So how for a person to understand, I maybe like to do this and that, but what is actually my this body doesn't come with a booklet of instruction. But how do I find out myself what I'm good at? There's some way which people can find out.
The booklet that comes with it, it's instead of each body coming with the, its own separate manual, then there's one manual for all the bodies. Like that. So the Vedic literatures, then they give that direction and everything. They mention, just you see, that there's this kind of body, this kind of intelligence, this kind of mind, this kind of senses, this, and then according to that situation, there's a natural ego. Right? Your ego is based on what you have, like that. Your facilities. It's not necessarily so much on what you do. That's secondary. It comes. But the grossest of the egos, the most obvious, it depends upon what you have. Your body, where you live, you know, a position, you know, all these things that are static, they're dead. What you do in that position, what you do with those things, then that's maybe appreciated or not by others. That's also an ego. I can do, I not do, I can, you know, so many things. Then more subtle is just what I want. That's also an identification. You know, it's like what I want, then I associate with other people who have the same kind of wants. Like that. Because generally then they use similar methods and have similar facilities. Like that. So then creates your ego. Depending upon what you have, how you deal with, and what you want, then you'll create a certain identity. Then with that identity then comes your methods. You know, what you use, so that uses your senses and intelligence. and then that goal, that'll use your mind. So then you can see, and then that gives a definition of then what you should do. Like that. And so it's straightforward, because it's Krishna. Is that we see is that, means we'll just give a small summary, because it's a very big topic, is we see that just like we see a living, let's say a living entity from a distance, and it's moving, and the way it moves, and we can identify it's a dog, right? Or from a distance, you can't really see, you can identify it's a cat, or it's a bird, right? Or we can see someone walk, you can see this is a man, or another person walking, say this is a woman. And you can go anywhere in the world, and you get the same thing. A dog will walk the same anywhere in the world, a man will walk the same, a woman will walk the same. So you can always tell. So then that's because there's a potency, a masculine potency, a feminine potency, a dog potency, a cat potency. And that's the Lord's potency. It's not us. We're thinking, I'm a man, I'm a woman. No. The body moves like a man because it's got the potency, Krishna's manly potency in it. Otherwise it wouldn't. It's just a lump of flesh. It's just, you know, a few days before it was, you know, some dirt, right? And that grew into something, and then, you know, the lady ate it, and then it became a body, you know? So there, it's been empowered with that. So it's not us. So since it's not ours, it's not our body, it's not our potency, therefore, the honest thing to do is use it according to the who owns it, how they want it used. Therefore, Krishna wants those who are imbued with the masculine potency to act in a certain way, the feminine potency another way, dogs in another way. You treat dog in a certain way. It's the way Krishna wants it done. Right? So, therefore, then you get all these things. You know, Krishna has a potency in the table, so you use it as a table. You don't use it as a skateboard or something. Right? So, like that, then this is religion. This is Dharma. Like that, is knowing what the thing is. So people who don't know who they are, is basically because they're irreligious. People who don't act properly, is because they're irreligious. Like that. Maybe devotional, but not religious. Right? Religion and devotion are two different things. Right? Means devotion is the religion of the soul. And religion is such, what we'll call manashram and these other pious things, that's the religion of the mind, you know, the subtle body and the gross body. Therefore, you can get dichotomy. Where you can have someone who's a devotee, know the philosophy, be devoted to the Lord, but be completely bad in their character. Not completely, but I'm just saying so many bad habits are there. Because they haven't learned, they've learned the religion of the soul, but they haven't learned the religion of the body, or of their mind. So they don't know how to behave. They don't know that the mind should be used in a certain way, the voice in a certain way, the hands in a certain way, your gestures in a certain way. So therefore, they don't know how to actually be engaged the body, mind, senses in the Lord's service. You know, a few things. Okay, you take prashad, but when they take prashad, this is good. This is terrible. This guy this, that guy that. But this is not proper, right? That they're taking prashad. So that's the essence. So that's good. It's a start. But if you get more, then you see this is Krishna prashad. How can I judge it like this? Right? And how is it when I'm honoring prashad, I can be talking about so many other nonsense things? You know, criticizing this one, that one, you know, working out the, you know, the whole politics of the universe, and, you know, solving all the world's problems. You know, no, you're supposed to honor prashad in a pleasant way, deal with others in a pleasant way. That's the time for that. Then if you go out and you're a manager, you have a meeting, then you work these things out. Then say, this guy this, that guy that, and we got to do something about it. Because then you understand the Dharma, religion. So that's the whole thing. Of the Dharma, the most important is the Dharma of the soul. You have that, the other will come. Just with practice, by nature, you become purified. You can't do that. You can't be rough. You can't be nasty. How long can you do that? Right? You have to be very determined to be nasty for a whole lifetime. You know, it's like, It just, with time, it'll just go, because as you become pure, there's no taste for these things. So then one is able to see, actually, what is the religion of everything. You know, like this book stand, this religion, it holds things up, it holds books up. Right? So then the book goes here. You know, and books, you read it from this side, not the other, so therefore we don't put the book down like this. Right? If we did, then you'd say, this person doesn't know reading. Which means, I don't know the religion of a book. Religion of a book is, if you read it from this side. The outside is the cover, to protect the book. That's the dharma of that. So somebody knowing that has put some plastic on the outside. Make sure that the book doesn't become disturbed. So, like that, then the whole idea is, you know, so many religions are there. And they, to some degree, tell you something about how to behave. A little bit of morality, a little bit of social interaction. But not much, because it depends on the audience. What we see is that in the Vedic literature, then you're dealing with a very high-grade audience. So therefore, you can give them the very fine details of religion. How to do everything. You know, how to sit, walk, talk, everything. Everything can be done. How you dress, everything. Little fine points can be given. And then, that is there, but that's the religion of the, that's the external. That's why it's called external. Lord Chaitanya said it's external. He didn't say it's not followed. He followed it himself extremely strictly. Sometimes you mention Varnashram and devotees, well, Lord Chaitanya said that's external, therefore we don't follow it. Funny, Lord Chaitanya followed it. So did Ramananda Rai. You know? Like that. So, it's external, means it's for the gross and subtle body. But the devotion, that's for the soul. So the externals will make for proper social interaction, it will make for proper economic development, it will make for proper enjoyment, and it will make for proper freedom from this material contamination. But none of those will satisfy the soul. Therefore, we have to have eternal religion. So the nature of the soul is to serve God. So then you combine that with our conditioned nature. So since we, the soul, have to serve God, but we're conditioned so much that we think we're the body, therefore, yes, follow the religion of the body. But as the servant of the Lord, therefore the body is then engaged in the Lord's service. So this is called sub-dharma, or the eternal dharma. So even though the body is not eternal, engaging in the Lord's service gives an eternal result. So therefore it's called sad-dharma. Even though the body will perish, the service done won't perish. Like that. So therefore in this way, it's a very nice way, very kind way, that Krishna has allowed us, even though we're unqualified to serve Him, we don't have a spiritual form, we're not manifesting that even with our present condition, whatever situation we are in, we can do something for Krishna. Like that. It doesn't matter. You know, even the form doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be human. We see the monkeys, and they were helping Ramachandra. So it's just they were monkeys for Krishna. Right? They went, they weren't out there with bows and arrows. They were out there throwing rocks and boulders and, doing all kinds of, just making trouble. Running up, jumping on Ravana, spitting in his face, doing this, they were being monkeys. But they were doing it for Ram. So then it's sad-dharma. They were performing monkey dharma, but because they're doing it for Krishna, then it became sad-dharma. So this is the whole thing, is that self-realization means understand who is the self. Right? It means there's the body as self, there's the intelligence as self, there's the ego as self, there's the mind as self, there's even the desire, means the, how you say, the consciousness as self, that I'm the enjoyer or I'm the servant. Then you come to the spiritual platform, I am servant of Krishna, the actual. And then one in that self, then one gets the perfection. But you have to find the balance, because the most important is the soul is self. And that cannot be overshadowed by seeing you know, performing the duties of the body or mind and all that. That's what happens. Smartas go that way. Even though they know they're not the body, they get, or they overdo the body and the subtle body as self, like that. Or the liberation is, you know, they get into Dharma, but only the intelligence, you know, so moksha. But the devotee, it's bhakti. So therefore, the soul is most important in relationship with the Lord. That's the situation. Does that make some sense? So, thanks, Ray.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for your blessing. Rataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Prabhupada ki, Sarvadeva Bhaktivinoda ki, Charitagoda Vrindavan ki.